Good afternoon. Welcome to Tech Days Online, DDD flavor. My name is Rick Hepworth. I'm an Azure MVP. And with me, I'm really pleased to welcome somebody that has to put up with me every day of his working life, James Croft, who is a Windows Development MVP. And the second he got out of doing a session in the community conference that we're broadcasting in parallel with, Claire hit him on the back of the neck and dragged him up here, kicking and screaming, to come and talk to us about why UWP is a suitable technology for enterprise apps. So that sounds really interesting, James. I'm going to start with, all right, what's UWP?
So UWP is the new modern Windows platform. Basically, it's, as it says on the tin, UWP stands for Universal Windows Platform. The universal part is that that application that you build for the Universal Windows Platform spans all of the Windows 10 devices. It's not just for desktop or mobile. It spans everything and anything that's going to come in the future. And that's essentially, in a nutshell, and quite short, is that it is an application that runs anywhere that runs Windows 10.
So what are we talking about now then? So you and I are both sitting here with Surface Pro, so we're talking desktop, we're talking tablet.
Yep.
What else have we got?
Phones.
Contentious.
Ones that are available. Surface Hub. And part of this talk was around using the Surface Hub as a business scenario, and also the HoloLens. It is a scenario that people don't really think about, because you think of the HoloLens, you think of 3D applications, and those applications are built with Unity. Now, it is .NET, but those applications themselves are a UWP container. The application just runs inside it. But you can run your 2D UWP applications that you'd run on the desktop on your mobile on the HoloLens as well. I think it's one thing that people don't really realize is that is the potential of UWP. It can do that.
So let's talk enterprise applications then. So I know from my own experience talking to people that a lot of organizations do think of UWP as that sort of lightweight Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily think of writing their line of business app maybe in UWP. So what can you say then to try and change my mind on that? Why is UWP a good fit for enterprise apps?
Well, if you think to it, just a classic enterprise application, something you know that's just presenting data in a data grid. Data grids, for those who don't know, it's basically a table. It's basically Excel. What you get from that works really well on your classic desktops. Keyboard and mouse, it works perfectly with those. But when you think of a modern application, you think of devices like the Surface and mobile phones. They're touch-based. They're built with touch screens. But an application like that doesn't work very well for those input types. It is for keyboard and mouse. But because we're moving in this era where people are, I mean, yourself and I'm sure everybody who might be watching is, we use mobile phones on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And they have touch screens. They don't have a keyboard and mouse that you just plug into it.
Yeah, and to be fair, if you watch me using mine, I do a bit of mouse, a bit of keyboard, and poke the screen every now and again and get really uptight if it doesn't work. So, yeah, I think it's interesting how we've shifted the way that we interact with applications.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you think of it from that consumer side, like you said, you get applications like WhatsApp and all those on your mobile devices, and you know them really well, and you know how to use them. Mm-hmm. But would you really expect your business customers to try and run an application like that data grid on your phone? When you think about it, those they have their own phones. And a lot of businesses these days are actually have this bring your own device model. So they can use their Android or Windows or iOS devices at work with their enterprise applications. And if you're not thinking of building applications for those enterprise platforms, well, you're losing the whole market there. And when you think about the mobile sector, there's quite a broad.
So are you thinking then that one of the things we need to get across to enterprises is the need to pay more attention to user interface, not just necessarily to use the old, staid, easy to grab controls like a data grid, to maybe think about how they consider usability? Are you suggesting that maybe the UWP platform makes it easier to build those kind of rich applications?
Well, in a way it does, because what's built into UWP is everything that you're expecting from Windows 10. You've got touch, you've got ink, like with the Surface Pens. You've got gestures in HoloLens. And all those things are baked into the Windows 10 APIs that you can leverage today in a UWP app. But if you're not building apps for Windows on UWP, you can't take advantage of that. There are ways to do it, and throughout my talk, one of the sections I talked about was the desktop bridge, which some people may or may not know of. Essentially, what that is a way of bringing your Win32 classic applications, WinForms or the BPF, over to UWP. In short, it's basically just a wrapper for it, but as you start going through a journey of crossing that bridge, you can migrate your application, start using those UWP APIs, and then eventually you'll just end up with a UWP application running across all the devices. I mean, there is a downside to using the desktop bridge from the start, in that if you're just doing that initial migration, it'll only work on desktop. Now, in a way, I suppose you're quite lucky because the biggest market share for Windows devices is the desktop. But as you start migrating the way through, you get all of them. You know, you get your application that runs on the Surface Hub, on the HoloLens, and on any Windows 10 device that might come in the future.
Okay. So I guess I'm taking from that that with the desktop bridge, more or less, I should be able to take my code unchanged and put it inside the UWP container, effectively, that's going to deploy it onto to machines.
Yes.
What if I don't want to do that? What if I do want to migrate to UWP natively, if you like? Can I bring my old application code along for the ride? Are there any gotchas that maybe I need to think about for that migration?
Yes. So in most cases, it's not going to be a... I'll take my code, and it just works on UWP.
Right.
It is .NET, but it's a different flavor of .NET. It's .NET Core. So if you've built an old application, some of that might work on UWP.
Right.
But not all of it will. There are a few scenarios. So say, for example, if you've created portable class libraries with the code in there, as long as it's targeting Windows, they will just work. They will work as they are. But Microsoft have come up with this new standard for .NET, which is the .NET standard.
Right.
And essentially what that is an umbrella for those APIs. So we can start bringing that code into a .NET standard library and using that across every .NET platform, not just UWP. It'll work in .NET, .NET Core, UWP, and even Mono for Xamarin app development.
Okay.
So then you can start thinking about that cross-platform capability as well. So bringing an application that's quite classic into the modern era with UWP, but also target other mobile devices like Android and iOS. And that's all baked into .NET standard.
So I know, because oddly enough, we've written an enterprise app in UWP.
We have,
hence,
yes.
Hence the session. Are there any maybe gotchas you'd like to warn people about or tips that you'd give them based on your experience of working with the applications that we write?
Well, I suppose one of the drawbacks to UWP is that it's a self-contained application. It is a drawback in the way that it you don't have the capabilities of extending to do other things around the Windows OS, so you can't start dropping files in wherever you feel like. It
right.
is self-contained. So for anybody who's new to UWP, it is that sort of step back if you've done Win32 in the past. But there's so much more that you can leverage from it.
Right.
And one of those in particular is app-to-app communication. Now, because of the way the app package works, your application has an ID. And that ID can be referenced from another application, not just one of your own, but maybe someone else's who's trying to build an app. So
okay.
say, for example, you wanted to use an application that you're building has a map in it, and you want to have a function which has navigation, so you can find a point of interest and navigate to it. Now, every developer will want to write that navigation logic themselves, but there's a Bing Maps application on the device that works just fine, and you can activate that application, that UWP application from your UWP application because you know the application ID.
Okay.
And then you can spring it up into life and it'll start the navigation for you because you pass those details in. But basically, it's an API that you can just say, here's some query, you take it and then do something with it.
Okay. And I assume you can write your application to receive information and
yeah,
be
so it's a
core component for other people.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is a bit of a loaded question, to be fair. I've decided I want to write a UWP app. Are there any resources that can help me, that can maybe springboard me forward in building my app, maybe standing on the shoulders of people who know more than me, to scaffold it maybe?
So, yes, there are. And recently, at Build this year, Microsoft introduced an open source community project called the Windows Template Studio. Now, essentially what it is designed for is to get someone who's wanting to build a new UWP application up and running with the building blocks to create and flesh out an enterprise or even consumer application. what's in there are basically a set of pages, frameworks, and all these different features that you can add. But it's up to you as a developer to pick those features. It's not something in traditionally with Visual Studio templates is you get something and you get all of it.
Right.
It's all or nothing. So you either get the blank app or an application which has a load of things in it that you're just going to scrap because you don't need them. It was just that one thing you needed. The Windows Template Studio is designed to fix that issue.
Okay, so the thing I remember from when we launched modern applications, or Metro if we go all the way back, Microsoft had built a set of templates that developers
yes.
could use. How does the Template Studio differ from those templates?
So it goes back to what I just said then. Those templates were built as a way to start you on the path. This is what we want you to do in terms of building up a UI. But most developers would take one of those templates, say, file new, give it a name, and then look through the code and go, well, I don't want half of this. And I need to implement this framework that we standardized on most of our other projects, like an MVVM pattern, for example. And this wasn't built for that. So now I've got to rip all this code out that I don't need and then put in my own, oh, now it's broken. I wish I hadn't started from this. Whereas the Windows Template Studio is designed to fix that issue.
Okay.
I can show you that running if you
absolutely, if you want to do a quick demo. I believe you're part of the team that actually built the Template Studio.
Yeah, so
you're one of the MVP contributors.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's a community project. You can find all the code for the Windows Template Studio up on GitHub. If there's a feature you're wanting to add, or a feature that you want adding but you can't do it yourself and you're looking for someone to do it, if you go up onto GitHub and search for Windows Template Studio, we have an issue tracker on there, and it has all of the current features that we're looking to implement. So
okay.
just head there.
So walk us through creating a quick sort of start with the Template Studio.
Okay, so here's the basic wizard for creating an application. We've got Windows Template Studio selected at the bottom. This is a Visual Studio extension, so you do need to install this. And for those who are watching, you can download that at aka.ms/WTS.
Okay. I presume it's in the Visual Studio Marketplace if I just go and search for
yes,
it as well.
Yes, yes.
Great.
So I'm just going to leave this as App 3 because I'm not creative.
Believe that for a second.
But it brings up this wizard for us to start putting an application together.
Right.
And we can pick from a range of project types. We've got Navigation Pane, which is your hamburger-style menu that you'll find on a lot of mobile applications. You can pick Blank if you want, etc. And we've got frameworks, so code behind for those of you who just want to prototype an app. Mm-hmm. But then we've got those MVVM pattern projects like MVVM Lite. And for this demo, I'll pick MVVM Lite just to show you how this works. Now, on the right-hand side here, you can see that it's adding a license because MVVM Lite is a third-party library that you can use in your application. So it's given us that license information so we know as an enterprise developer what we're taking on.
Okay, yep.
So I picked a few of those, and if I make this just a bit larger so you can see some of the features that are on here, we've got a set of pages, and this is going to grow as more community contributions are made. This will grow.
Okay.
So we've got a set of pages, and we have some features that are added. Now, for this demo, I'll just add a map page, and again, I'll just flick through this quite quickly. I'll also add this settings page to my application. Now, because of the way that Template Studio is built, all of these things sort of interconnect. So I've picked the settings page. The settings page has a dependency on the set in storage feature, so it's automatically added that for me.
Okay.
But we've got all these extra things in here. If you wanted to add notifications, live tiles, specific features that are available in UWP. But for this, I'm just going to hit create. Now, this might take a while to generate because it's not just your standard, oh, it's out of the box, ready to go. This is generating the code that's going to be able to run your application.
Okay.
Now, because we might not have a lot of time here, I've already created one with exactly the same setup previously, just to show you how it works. Now, I picked MVVM Lite as my target framework. So what it's going to do is those views that I've already created, I asked for the map, I asked for the settings page, it's already created those pages for me.
Okay.
But it's also created the view models following the MVVM pattern that MVVM Lite provides you and already put that in place with the bindings there ready to go. So this application that I've got now, I've generated with the map and the settings page with the navigation pane, is ready to hit F5. I've made no code changes here. So if I hit F5, this application runs. You've got your navigation pane. I can navigate through the pages. This was the blank page, which is automatically added. I can head to the map, and it's using the location service. So that's all tied in. You don't need to do any of that for you. So I can say, yes, use my location.
Okay.
And this will jump to where I am, hopefully.
Hopefully.
At some point. It might not, There we go. So, yeah, we're at TVP. And that's all built in. And it's all bound up. It's using MVVM. So it's providing you that pattern to move forward. But essentially, that's it. It is a tool that allows you to get up and running with the things that you actually want,
right,
without having to remove anything or strip anything out. It's just there. And hopefully, with more contributions, this will get a lot larger.
So as an enterprise dev, it's really sort of helping me start my UWP app with best practice.
Yes.
And then I can pull my old legacy line of business code into it, knowing that I've got a foundation that's going to be sustainable.
Yes.
And I guess if I'm building a more lightweight app, then it's done actually quite a lot of the heavy lifting for me.
And it's fantastic for prototyping. I mean, yes, I would encourage people to go out and use this to develop their enterprise applications because it does work for that.
Yeah.
But if you want to quickly, rapidly just pop up an application just to show this is the concept for what we're trying to build, this works really well for that as well.
Okay. And have you seen much take up? I know that it was announced at Build. I know they did some sessions on it. Have you got some feedback from people as to whether they like it and find it useful?
In fact, a lot of people are actually wanting to use this for other scenarios, not just Windows. So not just build Windows apps, it's for building other apps, Xamarin applications, the same sort of concept of being able to quickly just navigate through and build an application that's ready to go. When you think about what the code's generated here, it may have taken 2 or 3 minutes to generate, but if you were to develop this from scratch using that blank app template that's available in UWP today, this could take you days, hours. You know, it's reducing that, and it's ready to go. It's, you know, hit F5 and it's running.
So, and I'm not holding you to this, but I sort of infer from that maybe you've started to look at whether you can use this either with sort of Xamarin Forms or XAML Standard that was also announced at Build. Have you guys started to look at how much work it might be to extend that to support Xamarin based on those requests?
It is one of the things that has been discussed. Now, at the moment, this is designed for Windows.
Windows does, yeah.
It is something that's on our backlog, and it's something that's being considered. So hopefully, maybe we'll see some more development in that in the future. It's definitely not something that's going to happen right away, just because of the way that this is built. It is specifically built for Windows, but it's something that they're considering. So.
Okay, that's great. That was really, really great to see. So we've got a few minutes left.
Yep.
Everybody that I've been talking to today, because we're at a community event, I've been asking a couple of questions to get their thoughts, which are, why do you think people should attend events like DDD, and specifically DDD? And the second question is, why do you think people should speak at events like DDD? And I'm interested to hear your take on that as well.
Well, for me, I mean, I've attended 4 or 5 DDDs and spoken at 3 of them now. So I'm quite new to this. In terms of a speaker, I am very new to this. And it's difficult. I wouldn't say from a speaker's perspective that this is an easy task to do at all. But it's tons of fun. These events are fantastic, the community-led events. I mean, DDD in particular is a free event, and you get a lot of people who are coming here who aren't really expecting that. You know, they know it's free. You know, they've got their tickets and whatnot, but they're coming to see the content. They don't care that it's free. And I'm not saying that it should ever happen, or if it did, it wouldn't really matter. But if there was a charge there, I still think people would come. You know, it's
yeah, okay.
I think difficult.
It's the same level of quality of content,
yes,
pretty much as if it was a paid for conference. It's just we do it for love and
yes,
passion.
Yes, we do. No, but it is that element of community with events like DDD. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, if people, you know, the message gets out, people will see that and want to attend in the future. I mean, we do get quite a lot of attendees at these events, so seeing more would be fantastic. But yeah, it was great. And for anyone who's really thinking about going into that speaker role, just do it. I mean, I'm not confident, but I've been able to build that up through doing some of these talks, doing this conversation and things like that. And it really boosts your confidence, not just as a speaker, but as a developer. It makes me feel a bit more confident about what I'm doing because I'm learning it from experts. And then I'm giving that back to other people so that they can learn too. So, I mean, it's a trade-off, I suppose. Everyone wins.
So have you had some good questions and conversations on the floor with people today then?
Yes, so I mean, some of the questions that come back obviously are around what is this, what does it do? Because a lot of people really don't understand UWP at the moment, and it's that sort of flux of people are still creating desktop applications with Win32. So putting that point across is that you can do this. It really helps them, and hopefully the conversation that I had with them today has really spoken to them, and they really consider it.
Okay.
There is a lot more to UWP than just, you know, your desktop applications. When you think about business scenarios with the Surface Hub and HoloLens, it's fantastic.
Okay, that's great. So where can I find out about the Windows Template Studio? Is there a GitHub repo and documentation on the web?
There is. If you just go to GitHub, I can't remember the link off the top of my head, and search for Windows Template Studio. It's okay. A Microsoft-hosted one, so it's part of the Microsoft open source community. But if you want to just get cracking and use it, go to aka.ms/WTS, and that will take you directly to the link to download it for...
Okay. And what about your stuff? Because I know you've got other projects that you've got on GitHub, and you tweet frequently, so how can I follow you?
So if you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is James M. Croft, and I use the same one for GitHub, so you can find all of my community contributions on there too. I do quite a lot. I primarily focus on the Windows Template Studio, and I sometimes contribute to the Windows Community Toolkit. I can't remember what they call themselves now. UWP.
You lose your bonus points there.
Sorry, UWP Community Toolkit. That's it. It's blank.
Cool.
But I also have some of my own on there as well, but it's fantastic. And I highly, highly recommend that people go out and actually contribute to those, because it doesn't just impact you. You know, you developers will take those projects, either through NuGet, not realizing that they're open source, mm-hmm. and start using them. But if they could give something back into those projects, say they find a bug, and they go and fix it, that's not only helping them, but it's helping a lot more people. So open source is great.
I'll go back to that sense of community again. Well, yeah. James, it's been great talking to you for 20 minutes or so. That is, unfortunately, us done for the day with the recordings and certainly the live streaming that we've been doing. If you look on Channel 9, if you give us a few hours to get these up, you'll be able to find Tech Days Online DDD. And with a bit of luck, if we get some positive feedback, we'll try and do the same kind of things again from other DDD events around the UK in future. Thank you very much for watching. James, thank you very much for taking part. And we're done.